This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Here's really the only question left in professional basketball this season. After scoring his 300th three-pointer last night, can Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors hit 400? Players like Curry are hard to come by, yes, but that doesn't stop the NBA from trying to make them by collecting and analyzing performance data of all kinds. Andy Glockner wrote about basketball and big data in his new book. It's called Chasing Perfection. Andy, it's good to have you on.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
There is a great line in this book that pretty much sums it up, I think. There are, you say, no perfect basketball players, but plenty of perfected ones. Explain that a little bit.
Well, you look at the best players in the world, the LeBron Jameses, the Steph Currys, and while they are the absolute best in the world at what they do, obviously they make mistakes. They miss shots, they throw bad passes, they make bad decisions. But the concept really is that the players that make the NBA are all exceptionally good at what they do. It's just that the superstars make it look so much easier than the rest of the guys that I think there's some dissonance for audiences looking at that.
All right, so take me now from the player to the team and throw in big data and analytics and how that really, as you say, has revolutionized basketball as we know it.
So there are so many different applications of the data, though. When people probably will think analytics is about how to get better shots, where your shots should be coming from, what combinations of players play together. There's a whole other world of this, though, with separate data being collected, which involves health and performance and training and all that type of stuff that you do off the court that enables players to get bigger, faster, stronger, and most important, stay healthy, which is the biggest asset you can give to a team.
All right, so I'm mixing my sports here, but make the connection for me now to Moneyball, right? And that whole thing that Michael Lewis did with baseball, pointing out what Billy Beane and the Athletics had done, in some regard doing that, right? Signing those guys who can fill slots and get things done.
Yeah, I think the Moneyball concept has been beaten to death in a larger sense where it was about on-base percentage being undervalued by the other teams in the market. Basketball is a much more complicated game than baseball, though. In basketball, you're dealing with 10 guys. And while there may only be a maximum of, say, three guys who are involved in a play in terms of, you know, box score scoring, there's an assist, a basket, the other seven players on the court are intimately involved in the success or failure of the play. Right. So capturing all of that and finding rhyme or reason in it is much different and much harder than just identifying what might be undervalued in a more linear sport like baseball.
Right. This is all this big data stuff and the way these things go. This is a business opportunity for companies out there, right, who want to provide this data to the teams, they want to provide it to the league, and they want to make some money while doing good for the sport in theory.
These types of opportunities for these third-party companies are available because there's an inconsistency across the 30 NBA teams as to how much resources or how many resources they want to put into it, how much money they want to put into it. And there's a pretty big connection between the teams that are deeply into this and the teams that have been successful in the last two or three years.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. Translate now all this data and all this work that both the players and the teams do in your book, translate that to wins.
Well, that's the goal. So there's a lot of luck involved. There's a lot of development once you get your hands on things. I mean, you can identify a draft strategy and hit on a guy, but that doesn't mean that guy's going to be successful. Now you got to groom him. And he also has to play with the other players you have. I think analytics, like anything else in an organization, is a tool. And you need a smart organization to take advantage of the tools against the other organizations that might not be so sharp. So I don't think analytics leads directly to wins. I think team culture does.
Okay, so here comes the purity of sport question, and I will reveal my naivete here. Don't you just want guys to go out there and play some hoops and see who wins?
You'd be surprised by how many players don't pay a lot of attention to this fancy data. And they don't want to hear like, well, hey, you know what? You're kind of mediocre from this spot on the floor, because then it gets in their head. They start thinking about it. One of the biggest issues that teams continue to have in analytics is not the ability to decipher the data, but to communicate the data and have the parties that need to use the data buy into it.
Andy Glockner runs a site called The Cauldron. His new book on sports and basketball specifically and the data therein is called Chasing Perfection. Andy, thanks very much.
I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.